of his word. What a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
In theology, we're dealing with the subject of man's natural ignorance of God. The cause and nature of that ignorance. We have noted that man was created with a mind that has certain elements which intuitionally recognizes the existence of God, knows that God is. He has a moral nature which should respond to any revelation of God. God has stamped his image upon man's nature, his spiritual nature. Therefore, he has a capacity to know God. The attributes of spirit, we should take this in anthropology later, the tripartite man and the attributes of each division, spirit, soul, and body. But in the spirit, he has faith, worship, reverence, prayer, and moral rectitude, having the moral law of God, as we saw in apologetics, and conscience as an integral part of his nature. Why then doesn't man come to a right knowledge of God? It is the universal testimony of observation, as well as the Word of God. Nowhere has anyone, by unaided human reason, found out God. By searching, the Scripture says, one cannot find God, or search out the Almighty to perfection. It would seem only plausible that the healthy mind, with the wealth of testimony from the realm of nature and the testimony of his own nature, with the image of God stamped upon it, he ought to come to a true knowledge of God. Why doesn't he? All observation testifies to the opposite, as well as Scripture. We read in Romans 1:19-24, because that which may be known of God, that is unaided human reason, is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead. So that they're without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So, two things. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into corruptible things, and they change the truth of God into a lie, these two things. That image of God that God had implanted, so that they're without excuse. We shall see the spiritual condition of the heathen and their responsibility in the next division. But they change the image of God, and they change the truth of God. Paul's great indictment of the whole human race. the Jew under law and the Gentile apart from the law. Both are indicted in Romans 1 through 3, because even the one not following the light of nature and the other following the light of revelation, they both fail, showing human nature. That's why Jesus said, "No man cometh unto me except the Father draw him." Impossible. Man changes the image of the incorruptible God into corruptible things, and even like unto his own corruption. Then he changes the truth of God into a lie. It's not an amazing thing that an unsaved preacher gets up there and spouts off his modernism and his denial of everything in the Bible that's true. I wouldn't expect anything else with his daddy prompting him. As Jesus said, you're father the devil, and his works will you do, and his lies will you teach. I'm not amazed at a Harry Emerson Fosdick teaching what he taught and denying the inspiration of the Bible and the deity of Jesus Christ and the blood atonement. It'd be amazing if he didn't. But God creating man in his image with all the ability to know God as far as who he really is being clearly seen, Paul said, he still is ignorant. And we shall see why. What influences are at work in the human heart and upon the human mind to cause man to sin against his own nature and to change the truth of God that he knew into a lie? It's an amazing thing. Many missionaries can testify that the natives, when saved, recognized that they weren't true to their own nature in doing what they did, in the sacrifices they made, and in their trying to appease the wrong kind of a God. They knew they were on the wrong track even before they were saved. And he says not because atheism is true. I personally do not believe that there is a real atheist. He would be, he'd have to be crazy, or as the scripture says, a fool. Has said in his heart there is no God. And even that kind of a fool, when he comes to die, changes his mind. One would have to outrage, outlaw, every intuition that God has planted upon the heart of his own existence and of his holy existence. Righteous existence in order to blithely teach there is no God. It isn't because atheism is a universal principle. There are very few even professed atheists, as we've already seen earlier. Atheism is but the exception. And a self-deception at that. The whole world worships or acknowledges that at the altar of an unknown God, as Paul shows. Even with the light of revelation, man doesn't think rightly of God, save by the special grace of the Spirit of God. You can see this in the modernistic pulpit. As they have the Bible, many of them have read it. I have read after atheists that quoted profusely from the Word of God, and yet, in their utter foolishness, still denied every moral principle of the Bible. The testimony of heathenism is that all men everywhere believe in a supreme being. Why then with the revelation in the book of nature and in the book of his own heart. Why does man change the image of the incorruptible God into corruptible things, the truth of God into a lie? Civilization hasn't brought to man a better conception. They still have the wrong idea of God. They changed the image of God into their own image. Someone has said, God made man in his image, and he returns the compliment by making God in his image. They do. This is what Paul's indictment here in Romans 1 is about. They made God either, as God indicts him in the Old Testament, either made God powerless to either do good or evil, as evil occurs, so that they shall not be brought into account. Or a corrupt God, like unto himself, that will not judge right or wrong. You'll read this of the atheist in the 10th chapter of the 10th Psalm, where the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, and then he goes on to say, God will not see that is my sin. He will not requite it. No judgment. So he is a helpless, impotent, unjust God to the unsaved person. We shall see why, as we deal with the twofold influences at work in fallen man, to keep him from coming to the true knowledge of God, even though he should. The devil started his career with man in the garden, slandering two things: the ability of God to do what he said he would do, or the love of God in withholding from them what they ought to have. Thou shalt not surely die. Change the truth of God into a lie. And then, making God altogether one like unto himself, changing the image of the incorruptible God. The rest of the temptation was, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God knows you need it. He doesn't love you enough to give it to you. He's jealous of you for fear you'll be like him, as powerful as he is, as wise as he is, and so on. And then, he won't carry out his word. You won't surely die. It's impossible. He slanders God to man. Been doing it ever since. He is a liar from the beginning. It's no wonder that man changes the truth of God into a lie. People have an erroneous idea of the devil. As we saw in angelology, as we dealt with Satanology and Satan's position from the beginning, full of wisdom. They have the idea that Satan is an enemy of religion. You must disabuse your mind of this. He isn't. He's not only not an enemy of religion, he's the founder of religion. You have to remember, religion is not used in a good sense all through the New Testament, except one time by James, and he's having practical religion in mind. Paul always uses religion in a bad sense. Christianity is not a religion. Let's keep that in mind. Both in doctrine class and in prophecy class, we dealt with the idea that there are only two, and I have to use this in comparative religion, there are only two religions on earth, or two worships. Well, there are only two gods seeking worship. The God of this age, and the one who said, I only am God, the Father. So there instead of being an enemy of religion, the devil is the founder of the religions of the earth. This is why Paul says in the 10th chapter of Corinthians, the things that the nations sacrifice, they sacrifice not unto God, but unto demons. So rather than being an enemy of religion, he is a patron of religion. He's the founder of religion. And therefore, he's perfectly in favor of it. At least two-thirds and more of the earth bows down and worships Satan. Yes? Always. Yes. God always says, deny yourself. Oh, yes, he does that. And in fact, this is his greatest lie. There is a way that seemeth right. Get that. That seemeth right unto man. Don't ever get the idea that the false religionist thinks he's wrong. Or that God doesn't have to accept him. Because he's following that way. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And God says the things that the nations sacrifice, they sacrifice not unto God, but unto demons. The devil's a patron of religion. In fact, in prophecy classes, we deal with the mystery of iniquity, and later in Pauline theology very briefly, but mostly in prophecy class. The devil, from the sacrifice offered by Cain, when he started first false sacrifice, and then at the Tower of Babel, he started actually false organized religion and his kingdom. That's why it's called Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. It started at the Tower of Babel by Nimrod and will end with the Antichrist. Yes, a carnal Christian accepts all the excuses of the devil because it agrees with their flesh life. And remember, the flesh, or what you are through Adam, your natural life, is at enmity with God. Even in a believer. We'll develop this thoroughly in Pauline theology because it's of the utmost importance. It's not an accident that most Christians deny the presence in them of the old nature as a real nature, or that its reality is all that you are by natural birth. This is why Paul said, I am persuaded that in me that is in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. That flesh is, I've always said, turn it around, drop the H like the English do, and you've got the answer to it itself. It's all that you are by natural birth. And it's sinful. And you won't lose it till the rapture. When you shall be like him, you shall see him as he is. Forever gone, then, the old nature. But here's why man cannot come to a right knowledge of God. It's the presence of this old nature, this which would rather believe the lie of the devil. And in another class also we deal with the subject of when the devil comes to an unsaved person or even to a Christian, he finds an ally on the inside, ready to agree with him. Usually the devil doesn't come to a believer to tempt him to some gross, sensual, devilish sin, some blasphemy, some cursing of Christ. Never. But it does come with that. You're only human. You need a little fun. After all, there's no harm in it. You'll say, haven't you noticed Preacher So-and-so does it? But it's all contrary to what Jesus said. If any man will be my disciple, and that's another one too. Discipleship is something besides salvation. If any man will be my disciple, let him come after me, denying himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That denial of self, it has to be renounced and crucified with Christ. Let's look then in why of this natural ignorance. Why this prevailing ignorance when his very nature has a true revelation of God? In apologetics, we show that the moral law of God in man cannot be denied. It can't be corrupted. Our conscience can. And needs correction, but God never says anything about his moral law being corrected. I believe sincerely the two witnesses that every person carries within his own being that shall condemn him in the day of judgment, at the great white judgment throne, will be conscience and the moral law of God. Two independent witnesses. We shall see they shall act through the subconscious memory in psychology class that cannot be denied in that day because you wrote it in your own handwriting. But both conscience and the moral law of God will give testimony, so that Paul says they are without excuse. We shall see this in the moral condition of the heathen in our next lesson. There are two reasons why man can't arrive at a just knowledge of God. One's external and the other's internal. One is the great antagonist of God, the devil. And the other is the old nature within man, sinful nature, depraved, fallen nature, the totally depraved nature that agrees with the lies of the devil against God himself. We have noted that man was created with a mind that has certain elements which intuitionally should know God. Then why should the devil find such an easy way? The name Satan is the Hebrew name for this august creature. This anointed cherub, as we saw in Satanology, the cherub, who was perfect in all his ways when he was created, and his wisdom is in particular stated as perfect. In the Hebrew, the word Satan means adversary, accuser. The Greek word devil or diabolus means calumniator, accuser, slanderer. Therefore, Jesus said he's a liar and the father of lies. Satan always seeks to insult the majesty of God. Keep that in mind. And when he can turn the truth of God into a lie, and you can get a believer to do this if you're not careful, carnal Christian in particular can easily change the truth of God into a lie. It's why, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself arguing with God. And when you can't get your way, you'll find yourself changing the word around. It means something a little different. And we warn you, as we do in bibliology and other places, next to blaspheming God, and it is of the nature of blaspheming God, one of the greatest sins that a human can commit is to change the truth of God
into a lie.
God says, I have honored my word above my name. And his name is his attributes, what he stands for, what he is, his person. Do you think God will hold anybody, believer or sinner, guiltless, who manhandles the word of God because of some pet theory, some pet doctrine? I want to believe everything God says. If I have to make brag, I'm a liar. That's what Paul says. Make God the truth, but every man a liar. You have to realize that you can't trust your old nature. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Oh, what it is. It's the most deceitful thing on earth, and then the rest of it is it's incurably sick. Desperately wicked. Same words are translated in Jeremiah and other places. Incurably sick. Humanly speaking, it's like the indictment of Isaiah, from the crown of its head to the sole of its feet, it's full of putrefying sores and corruption, which has neither been mollified with ointment nor bound up. It's just an open, gangrenous sore. You ever stop to think of what the angels must think of us? Holy angels, I'm talking about. Yes?
Israel, that they
came
up questioning the name of God.
Yes.
Now they do that to their life and deeds. So we
all
think that by word,
it can be done. Yes? It can be done when it gives the wrong testimony. As every carnal Christian is doing to a certain degree. Or it denies the ability of Christ to completely save or to save to the uttermost. It puts the stigma of unreliability upon him, of falsity upon him, and of incompetence and inability. Wherefore, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God. How many believers? And the word is, draw nigh unto God, seeing he ever liveth. This is the reason. We have the power of his endless life in the Melchizedek ministry of Jesus, we shall see in Pauline theology. Yes. God was blaspheming among the heathen not only by the teachings of Israel, but by their backslidings. Let's go on with this. First cause of man's ignorance, and then we'll go on to the second cause. The devil is a liar from the beginning, and a blasphemer ever since. Here's why of universal swearing, profanity, blasphemy against the name and character of God, cursing is under their tongue, Paul says. The mouth is full of cursing, and the poison of asps is under their tongues, universally. You'll see it in popular music. And I'm not a friend of popular music. It doesn't emanate from heaven, I'll guarantee that. Most of it emanates from hell. You better watch it. Yes? All of it. The beat is the beat of the jungle. It's devilish. It's sensual. You can see that if you'll look at the undulations of the devotees of it in all popular dancing. Sensual, devilish, rouses the basest passions. You see it on TV. in modern cults, in Islam, in modernism, the name of God is blasphemed. Satan seeks to influence the corrupt nature of man to have wrong views of God. He cannot impart to us a new nature, a corrupt nature like unto his own. Only the Holy Ghost can do this. Impart unto us a new nature in the image of God in righteousness and true holiness. The devil doesn't have this power. All he can do is appeal to the old nature. Paint pictures to it, as we saw in the methods of his temptation. But he doesn't need to give us another nature. We've already got one that agrees with him, welcomes him. Glad to see you. I agree with you. Now, if you think that's not true, how long has it been since you've had a temptation? How long has it been since the enemy came in? I'm talking to you as believers. Came to you with pictures, even as he did to Jesus. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Not the corruption of them. He never does that, as we saw in his method of temptation. If he tempts a young person to become a drunkard, he doesn't show him that bloated sot in the gutter. You look at the billboards and he shows you the young people with the bloom of health on their cheeks with holding up four roses. Didn't long ago before the roses wilt, and they do too. So he is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe, lest the light or the radiance of the luminancy of the gospel of Christ should shine in their hearts. In the face of Jesus Christ. As Satan cannot utterly destroy for man the remnants of the image of God, such as the moral law, intuition of God's existence, he corrupts and perverts until they're unrecognizable and changes the image of God. So he has the heathen fetish worships, cringing before a fearsome, angry, cruel, hateful God. He has the old Roman drinking before a Bacchanalian god of corruption. You study all the mythology and heathenism of Rome and Phoenicia and Assyria and Babylon. You'll find they not only were devilish, but absolutely corrupt. Worship of Bacchus, Aphrodite, Ishtar, all of them were goddesses and gods of fertility, the sexual symbols. See where a lot of our modern ideas come from. Deifying every immorality, as well as every cruel and hateful human passion. Like the warlike gods of Thor in Northern, and Odin of Northern Europe. So keep in mind in this first division, Satan's prime ministry as Satan, as accuser, as slander, is to malign. To corrupt human minds as to God's real character, real nature. Confuse men about God. Here's why man cannot, unaided, arrive at a true knowledge of God. It's impossible. He makes God
both corrupt and unable to do what he's promised or said he would do. Until man by wisdom cannot find out God. But on top of that activity of Satan, again, is the tendencies of the depraved human nature. It's only through that that Satan can work. Without that ally within the human nature, Satan can have no power over man at all. He can allure, he can entice, he can beguile, he can malign, he can lie. He can't make you believe it. He doesn't have to. Your old human nature is an affinity with Satan. And in the unconverted, unenlightened by the Spirit of God, it's a wonder there is even as much truth about God as there is in the world. Since he cannot force, he can only accomplish his purpose by appealing to the old nature with his lies. We must see that man's depravity is a disease. All of it. Nothing is omitted. This is the total depravity of Calvinism, and it's a good truth because it's biblical. As God does not outlaw our freedom in offering salvation, Satan cannot go beyond it when carrying out his purpose. As God comes knocking as a suppliant with the conviction of the Spirit of God, but you yourself hold the key, so the devil can't make you do anything either. He doesn't have to if you're unsaved. He finds that ally. Now, man always makes his creeds to suit his morals. In all human religions. It isn't an accident that all of the false righteousness that modernism taught when I was a lad, do good and be good while living like the devil. They all taught a morality. This is why Christ said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall know I was into the kingdom of God. But the devil's changed his tactics lately. You notice it? And this is an agreement with prophecy. Instead of having a cult or a creed of goodism, they've changed it with situation ethics. Almost all of modernism is teaching situation ethics. No standard of rectitude at all and righteousness. Every situation tinges the act so that it's either good or bad. In other words, it's all right to do murder, commit adultery, fornication, steal, cheat, if the situation warrants it. The Catholic Church has been teaching that for 1,500 years in consistory and in equivocation, the two great doctrines of the Catholic Church. The end justifies the means, as consistory, or the doctrine of equivocation. That is, it's all right to lie if you have your fingers crossed, and if you're doing it for the truth's sake. Don't you think they haven't used it? So man always makes his creeds to suit his morals. He never makes his creeds as an ideal to attain. He patterns them after the corruption of his own soul. That's what Paul's indictment includes. No wonder then that he grovels in a mire of spiritual filth which is impossible to elevate, for which he finds it impossible to elevate himself. But the more he worships a god of his own corruption, the more he becomes like that god, And the more he becomes like that God, the more he changes his creeds. So he steps downward. This is why this age ends in a cesspool of corruption. Read any prophet you want to. Until finally, when the Holy Spirit is taken out of this world at the rapture, sin shall come to full bloom and every depravity of the human heart will be openly exercised. And the devil shall rule personally upon the earth, coming down to you having great wrath, for you know this time is short. In sphere of thought or mind, they became vain in their own imaginations, darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, hardened in heart. In the realm of love, they love the creature and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is God blessed forever. In every realm, man is sick from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Is it to be wondered at that man's estimate of God should be foul, erroneous, blasphemous, that every lie and slander of Satan should be believed? Here's why. Though God stamped his image upon man, every man, and placed within man these two guardians of that image, his moral law and conscience, man's fought against it ever since, and changed the truth of God into a lie. Don't let any man tell you that he is doesn't believe the Bible, doesn't go to church. He goes to nature to find God. We've had a lot of that nonsense lately. All kinds of false seekings after God. Yogiism. All kinds of Mahatmas and adepts and always they go to Tibet. But nobody can follow them. Most of you, or a lot of you, have been to Bok Tower at Lake Wales. And on it they have these words. The kiss of the sun for pardon. Song of the birds for mirth. One is nearer God's heart in a garden than any other place on earth. Than any other place on earth. That's not true. The first part starts wrong. The kiss of the sun for pardon. You need more than the kiss of the sun. Not S-U-N, but S-O-N. And it's you kissing his feet. Psalms 2. Kiss the sun, lest he be angry. And ye perish from the earth when his wrath be kindled but a little. That's an Oriental absolute subjection and surrender when you kiss the feet of the monarch. I've already kissed the foot of the sun. Got that pardon that he mentions there. In subjection, he's my Lord and Master. This idea that everybody can seek God in his own way is a lie. As we've seen in so many places, the Word of God says, there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. No man cometh unto the Father, Jesus said, except by me. Singularity. You can't say, well, you go your way and I go my way and we'll all reach heaven at last. Your funny heaven. But all they do is sing, worthy is the Lamb, to receive all power and majesty and dominion and so on. In our next lesson, we'll take up the question of heathenism. Is it a deficit or is it a crime? Are they saved without the gospel? Will they be judged? Or will they be forgiven because of ignorance? You'd be surprised how many Christians have a sneaking idea that if I fail God about this missionary deal, God will somewhere or other get them all in. Do you want to consider their condition? Are they lost? Do they need the gospel to be saved? Or to quote one verse that proves it, we'll quote some more. You're dismissed.